I hope that you have all had a good day. I want us to think for a moment about today and think for a moment about what has happened. What is today? What is today? Wednesday. I had to look up the date to find out it's July 21st. Well, it's a day in which we had egg caca for breakfast. Fresh rhubarb for lunch. And I think it was spinach quiche for supper. I saw some people struggling back after some long hikes. And I know... I know some people went to Holden on a flower hike, and I really wanted to go, but I had to get ready for this. Time for conversation. And, of course, what was it today? Eric's birthday. How could you forget if you were at second setting? Well, what else was today? What else was peculiar about today? The sun, it's a day when the sun hardly shone. At least we couldn't see it. Now, Carol says he likes variety. But here I am very much aware of the sun. And I suppose partly because when you get up in the morning, it's cold or cool. And by evening, it's cool or cold. And you're very much aware of when the sun is not shining. Some places, people are much more aware. A couple of years ago, we were up north of the Arctic Circle where my daughter and her husband teach Eskimos. And there, during the summer, it was sunny all day and all night. And, of course, in the winter, the sun doesn't shine at all. So the sun is one of those things of which I become very aware here. And in a way, we take it for granted. What I want to talk about tonight is the sun, S-U-N, the sun as the source of light, of food, of energy, the sun as a gift. Sunshine is free. It's a gift. Life is a gift. Life is a gift. The Hebrews knew this, at least some of the time, and let us rise and read together Psalm 121 on page 205. We'll read together. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. You may be seated. Now, the sun functions in many ways. I understand that if you can decipher the ceiling, that you can see how the sun measures the seasons, or you can see how the seasons measure time, or you can see the seasons, or you can see the way in which here at Holden seasons kind of get mixed together. Now, Erling Jorst had told me that, and he got it secondhand, and I don't know whether it's true or not. But at any rate, what season of the year is it? What season of the year is it? Summer. Well, if you measure by the sun, it's summer, S-U-N. If you measure by the S-O-N, what season of the year is it? Anybody? Pentecost, Trinity. If you measure it by Holden's season, what season is it?
Advent.
Right. It's Advent. And Advent, I understand from my Holden experience, is violet. As a Baptist, it's hard to get all these colors straight. But it's Advent, and I want to recommend to you Mary Hinderly's little book, The Festival of Christmas. It's Advent. And we have about 3.5 days left, and you really could almost have one of the, it's a book of readings for the weeks in Advent. And in preparation for Christmas, we really could, collapse. We can do all kinds of things at Holden. You could collapse each week into one day. I recommend it to you. I don't get any money out of this commercial. I don't think Mary gets very much either.
Fourth of a cent.
So this is Advent. And what is Advent? What's the meaning of Advent? What is the meaning of Advent? It's kind of coming, isn't it? It's a waiting. It's an expectation. It's a preparation for something. But it's a preparation which is very strange. That isn't so far as you think about the sun, S-O-N. It's a very strange kind of thing about which you can do nothing. About which you can do nothing except wait. Well, it's this Sunday. I guess we all know that by now. And we are going to get ready, and we're doing all kinds of things to get ready. And I was thinking about Christmas today. I was thinking about it, of course, because I had to do this Vespers. And what do you think about when you think about Christmas? Well, this is what came to my mind, Christmas tree. It just popped right into my mind. And the S-O-N did not pop right into my mind. I could tell you that it did, and it's supposed to, of course, for us Christians. And the second thing that popped into my mind was buying, wrapping, and opening presents. And then Christmas carols and the Messiah played over and over again. Then the church services. Finally got down to some church services and some mangers and some pageants. Then some family gatherings and then the Christmas decorations on houses. And finally I got down at the bottom of the list. And I don't know whether that was subconscious or what, to Jesus, the son of Mary and Joseph. Now I asked Sarah, and she said she remembered. The first thing that came into her mind was Mary Hinderly dancing around the Christmas tree last year with the kids. And then our Advent calendars and candles. And then the great big stocking. She made a stocking to hang up. And the stocking, it's big enough for a hippopotamus. But it is something that's part of our Christmas. Decorating the house and cards and so forth. Well, we are in the Advent season, and it's a season of waiting. Of course, really, if it were like the ordinary Advent season, it would be the busiest season of the year. In fact, it'd be the most hectic season of our whole year. It really would be, wouldn't it? But the real meaning of Advent is not in anything we can do except to find a way to receive it. How busy we are in the Advent season ordinarily, and how busy we are up here, when there's nothing really that we can do except to find a way to receive what is coming. Both the sun, S-U-N, and the sun, S-O-N, for me then, point to our lives and our fulfillments as gifts about which we really can do nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, this is quite contrary to our way of living. Ernie Zorb says that most people don't see anything on a hike. They are so busy making a hike, getting somewhere, or taking pictures in order to see where they have been, that they do not receive or perceive much. I don't blame Ernie for quite everything I've said. But that's not a bad way of talking about our lives, is it? For me, then, I wish that every day could be thought of as a gift, as well as a task. And last year, Sarah and I would often remind each other as we left early in the morning for our busy long days that life really was a gift, that day really could be a gift for us, that things could be given to us in spite of our anxieties and in spite of our busyness. And that's what we really believe in Christ, don't we? That we are free from having to prove ourselves. Galatians says it over and over again. Paul declares over and over again that we cannot be justified by any religious works. We cannot be justified by any secular works. And I understand that to mean that we cannot really earn our salvation by doing anything. We can't climb a ladder to heaven. We can't build a Tower of Babel that reaches up to heaven, in spite of that song, Jacob's Ladder. We are justified and sanctified ultimately by God's action. We are allowed to be by his action. There's no way to make yourself, no way for me to make myself acceptable in God's sight, except to accept the fact that we cannot earn God's love. It is freely given. It's a gift. A gift. A gift. There's no way to make our lives ultimately significant by what we do. You are significant, I am significant, because of what God has given to us. In fact, I think, the more we strive to achieve for ourselves significant roles in order to be important and acceptable in God's sight or in the sight of our neighbors or in our own sights, the more we mess up our lives. If we cannot accept every day as a gift which makes us free to attend to something or somebody with joy and care, we really have messed up our lives. Now at Holden, as we say, it is new every morning. The cross makes it new every morning. That gets rid of the past. And I think we say in many ways that every day is a gift. And that gets rid of anxiety about the future. And so that leaves us free to live. The fact is, of course, for most of us, most of the time, and for some of us, all of the time, life is a task. But if we accept the radical proposition or presupposition that I'm proposing, that life is primarily a gift, a kind of reversal is possible. And a number of contrasts suggest what I mean. We would think, then, of being more than of becoming, of receiving more than of making and shaping, of the present more than of the past or of the future, of amazing grace more than of astounding works. I say more than. I mean both and, of course. But given our condition, given the structure and the nature of our life in this society, our condition of making and shaping and controlling and manipulating, our guilt about the past for not having done enough or made enough, and our anxiety about the future of not being able to make enough and control enough and have enough, the emphasis must be, it seems to me, upon the gift. And so, if there happens to be sun around here, And when one thinks of the sun, S-O-N, I hope that you can think of life as a gift. A gift. Or I hope that you're able to look into someone's eyes and say, you are a gift. And life is a gift for you. Today, tomorrow, and tomorrow. So, whether it's the sun, S-U-N, or the sun, S-O-N, life for you in faith can be a gift.